week I was thinking in my head where it is, or wonder how or when we came up with this idea. And I told Kim a while ago, don't be offended at the whole idea that bad guys wear black and good guys wear white. And in case you're wondering, Tim's dressed in all black today. But Tim explained to me something that a lot of us, he says, black makes you look thinner. I'll have to remember that. I wondered about that. Where did we come up with this? How did that get ingrained into our mind, this whole idea of darkness being bad and light being good? Think about it. Most of you can probably remember a time as a child that as you started out in the afternoon perhaps to play, that your mommy or daddy, one of them, would tell you what, be home before dark. That's the way we're, that's just kind of something that's ingrained into our mind. I think most of us understand the risk associated with darkness. I'm sure you've probably heard somebody say, talking about a particular area of town, that's a place you don't want to be after dark. You know, it's just something about darkness that gets our attention. As I studied, I was reading one little article, and the lady writing made this statement. See, it's funny how light and dark change sounds. That you can hear, you know, you could be walking around your house at lunchtime and hear something go, and you wouldn't think anything about it. You just keep right on doing whatever you were doing. At that same thought, be at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and you know you're up looking for the ball bat and turning on lights. It's just there's just something about darkness that changes our perception. We don't ever want to have a car break down, but if you've got a breakdown, you know you'd rather be at 11 o'clock in the morning than 11 o'clock at night. It's just something in our mind. We think about the Lone Ranger and his white hat. We're just geared to think that way for some reason. I thought about it, and nobody seems that I could find can seem to answer. I wonder if it sprung out of the Bible or if the Bible simply picked up on the mindset of the people at the time, because the Bible is filled with imagery about the difference in darkness and light. And on a regular basis, the Bible uses that imagery. It talks about darkness being evil and Jesus being the light, coming to the light shining round about. And the Bible is just filled with that imagery of darkness as bad, as wicked, as sin, as evil, and light as good. And it's just throughout the Bible that way. And again, it's ingrained in our mindset to think that way. Again, we turn on the television and the old cowboy movies, and the one guy rides up in the white cowboy suit and the white hat. We immediately know he's a good guy. We just know that. We don't even, we can have a song turned down. He's the good guy. And I know some of the folks here, some of you may be too young to know cowboy movies, but trust me, the good guy wears white, okay? Some of you don't have a clue who the Lone Ranger was, okay? I would say most of the kids that live in my house don't know who the Lone Ranger was. It's just, don't have the first idea, but that's part of our mindset. Tommy over here said he can remember when the Lone Ranger was in a little film. He's talking about the other city, Tommy. We just had that in our mind about the difference in light and darkness. And again, as I thought about, where did that come from? Did it come out of the Bible because of the Bible's common use of that, of talking about darkness as bad, as evil, as sin? Or did the Bible simply use something that is known to us? Because again, we all seem to have that same mindset. So if you talk to somebody again, you tell your kids, be home before dark. You tell them nothing good happens after dark. We just kind of have that mindset. We're coming up here next Saturday night. We get to give up an hour of sleep and set our clocks forward next Saturday night. Don't forget that. Next Saturday night, set your clocks forward. And one of the groups that really like that, that really push for the time change, is the police department, because there's less crime when the time, when it gets day, when there's less darkness. There's just less crime that happens in the daylight. And so they really push for it. They like this change that we did. Where it's now, what, second Saturday in March and the first Saturday in November or whatever it is. They like that because there's less crime when there's less darkness. And we just had that in in our mind, and we understand that imagery, right? When we begin to talk about daughtership, there's some things in the Bible that that some people understand, and just because of their nature, there's places in the Bible where the Bible talks about tilling the soil and planting and harvesting, and there are some people in our culture today who have no understanding whatsoever about tilling and planting and harvesting. Their idea of tilling and planting and harvesting is pushing a buggy through the produce section at the grocery store. That's tilling. Planting is picking it up and putting it in the buggy, harvesting is taking it to the register. That's about all they know about. They just have no image of it. There's a lot of agricultural image in the Bible of shepherd and sheep and flocks, and we just don't, most of us don't know much about that. We're not raised about that. But we know about darkness. We understand darkness. And all I do this morning is for us to think for a moment about this idea, as the Bible describes darkness, what that really means. I think for the believer, I hope it gives us a different understanding, a new perspective of our friends and loved ones who don't know Christ. That sometimes when we have someone, a friend, a loved one, a family member, a coworker who is lost, sometimes he just like, why don't you get it? Why don't you understand? What is wrong with you? Why don't you accept Christ? I hope this morning, as we consider what darkness means, that will give us a better understanding and hopefully a new approach to understand and be able to reach that person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of all, you're that person. You don't know Christ. I want you to understand you're in the darkness and you're in danger. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in this verse, in chapter 3 of John, it says, this is the judgment. The light has come to the world. It says Jesus Christ was the light, and he says, and people love darkness rather than light. They preferred to be in the darkness. And I thought about this imagery of darkness, and why would people love darkness? I can think of, you know what it's like to be in the dark and come into the bright light. It hurts for a moment, and the light exposed. So they didn't like it. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that practices these things hates the light and avoids it. First, I was this morning, and I got in one sermon preached to two groups of people. Those of you who are Christians, and you've got lost friends and loved ones, you come figure out, you talk to them about the gospel, you talk to them about Jesus Christ, you talk to them about being saved, and they just don't seem to get it. I hope this understanding of darkness this morning will help you to kind of understand their position, and maybe find a new way to work with them. Again, most of all, if you live there and you don't know Christ, you need to know that you are in the darkness. The Bible says that you are in the darkness, and that Jesus Christ is the light, and that he is the only way. He is the only light. And so that you need to understand you are in danger when you're in the darkness. Why are they in danger? What is the issue with those who are in darkness? First of all, in the darkness, think about it. There's a loss of sight. You just simply can't see as well in the dark. It's just common sense. You just simply can't see as well in the dark. Those who are lost, those who don't know Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that they are in darkness. In other words, they just don't see. They can't see the light. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, it says that there's a way that seems right to man. And every one of us here, you can probably think of somebody along this way. You're a Christian, you know somebody who's not saved, but you've watched them and you've talked to them about Jesus Christ. They think their way's right. They are perfectly content where they are because they just can't see. They are in the darkness. So it's kind of funny. Any of you ever, maybe you had a room and maybe had more than one light bulb in it, and it started going off, and you didn't replace them right away, and you kind of get accustomed to it, but eventually it gets to the point where you go in and change all the lights, put your light bulbs in, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I didn't see all of this. I didn't know what was going on in here. You turn the light in, and all of a sudden you see things differently. Some light bulbs are that way. They reveal a light bulb. I don't get any commission if you go buy any, but I've bought some of those before, and you put them in there, they put a whole different light on things. You see things just a little bit different. Watchman just doesn't see. He doesn't seem to see. He's in a way that seems right, but we live in a world today where everybody seems to say that it is okay. They just, as long as you believe something, as long as you believe something and believe it sincerely. And there are a lot of people following that, and they just don't seem to understand. There are a lot of people thinking, well, I've just got to be good. I've got to be more good than evil. I was listening, and I told you a little bit about this, and I don't even know who he was. I heard a comedian a while back talking about this whole issue, and I admire him for his honesty. I'd just like to have a chance to talk to him. And he says, I've been thinking a lot about spirituality and a lot about religion. I've studied it, so what some people say. And he says, I heard a lot of people say it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. He says, I've got enough common sense to tell me that can't be right. He said, I just know that can't be right. He said, it'd be like going down here to the airport and saying, I want to go to California and just get on any airplane and hope you took me there. I know you've got to be on the right plane to get to where you want to go. He says, I know this whole idea of just believe something doesn't make sense. He said, that just goes against good common sense. He said, this whole idea of being good, having more good than bad. He said, that doesn't make sense. He said, what have I got to do? Just be better than you? He said, you're going to put it all on the scale so we're grading on a like you did in school. He said, if it's all about being good, then wouldn't it be to my benefit to cause you to be bad so I could pass you? Wouldn't it be terrible to stand there one day and they put all your good on the scale and all your bad on the scale, and the one thing that tips your scale towards bad is that third grade spelling test you cheated on? That doesn't give me a very good system. I haven't figured it out yet. He said, but I know all these things are wrong. He said, common sense tells me they're not right. Blind people in the darkness cannot see. He says that they're in the darkness. He says they're all to see. The Bible talks about how our eyes have been blinded. We need to understand. Have you ever been out and you talk to somebody about Jesus Christ and they look at you just like, huh? Like a dog that whistles or something. And you just have ears like, why don't you see? Bible says their way seems right. Listen. They're in darkness. You're here today, and you don't know Christ as your Savior. I want you to understand something. The Bible says you're in darkness. It may seem right, but you're not seeing. The Bible says, in Proverbs says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Yeah. They don't see. They are in darkness. I think about a book that Elmer Towns wrote called Perimeters of Light. And he talks about, he uses the image of a campfire out in the woods. And he says that as people drift away from that campfire, they don't really realize how much light they're missing out on. He says what's really unique, and if you think about this, as those who are way out in the woods, they can see the light from where they are, but they're still in the darkness. They're still in the darkness. Even out in the woods, but they can see the light out in the distance. Listen, you don't know Christ. Those around us who don't know Christ, they are in darkness. They cannot see the truth of Jesus Christ. So it's up to us. How will they see? Robinson, how will they know if somebody doesn't preach? How will they see if somebody doesn't take the light to them? Listen, we have to understand that their eyes are clouded and they cannot see. Satan has their eyes blinded. Darkness is keeping them from seeing the light of Jesus Christ. It's not so much an obstinance or a stubbornness. Not like some people is. Some people just refuse. But I believe the majority of people that just simply need to have the light. I can tell you right now, I could take you to the spot if the building was still standing. I remember on the fifth grade, I remember Bob Meisner. Some of you may know him. Mayor of Kannapolis, now he's the principal of our school. I don't know why he was in the room, and I wasn't in trouble. I remember him coming in the room, and we were discussing light and darkness. Now, I remember him coming in and talking about that, about how that darkness could not quench the light. Darkness can't put out light. But when you cut off all the lights, and he said, all you have to do is turn on one light. That light will go through the darkness. It can be pitch black. I mean, it can be dark room black in here. And this little tiny red dot, you could see it in that pitch black. But you know what? The darkness can never put out that little light. Listen, what we have to understand is that there are people living in darkness needing the light. They cannot see. They need us to bring light to them. There are people who are in this world who cannot see the darkness. Who cannot see where they are. Darkness causes a loss of sight. Darkness causes a loss of security. You know that. If you've ever been outside in the dark, you've been out, especially maybe not this time of year where the days get longer, but in the fall where the days start getting shorter and darkness will sneak up on you. And you're out, maybe you're a little bit away from home or something, and maybe you get walking for exercise or something like that, and the darkness will sneak up on you. You didn't realize it was coming, and you look around all of a sudden, wow, I gotta get home, it's dark. Darkness causes a lack of security. Listen to what he said. He says, the light is fast, look at the dead hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. And I love this phrase, let us put on the armor of light. Listen, those in the darkness have no security. They have no security. There's nothing for them to hang on to. Let me ask you a question this morning. Well, two things we need to think about. Again, as I address two groups of people here, those of us who you're here today and you say, I know I'm a Christian. Do you understand that those around you, as confident as they may be, I believe with all my heart, I believe this, and you never convince me otherwise, that every person that is born is born of a place in their heart that only God can feed. I believe there's a longing in us for God. I just think that is something that is in human nature. That's why wherever you go, people worship something. It may be a tree, it may be a planet, it may be a cow, it may be a stick, it may be a rock, it may be the unseen. They're going to worship something. And there is a lot of security. I can tell you I have stood beside too many hospital beds. People's lives were coming to an end. And I stood beside a hospital bed of those that, to my knowledge, have never accepted Christ. And I can tell you that there is an absolute difference in the way a person in a hospital bed faces the end of their life when they know Christ and when they don't. There's a difference. They've seen it more than I have, I'm sure. I have stood in the hospital bed, and I have stood beside hospital bed, and I have watched as those who know Christ as their Savior, they face the end of this life with a totally different attitude, with a totally different perspective than one who does not. You're in the darkness, you have no security. Listen, again, you're out in the dark, and you hear sounds. Sounds are different in the night as they are in the day. Things are different. Somebody knocks on your door at 11 o'clock in the morning, you just kind of go peep out and see who it is. Somebody knocks on your door at 11 o'clock at night, different story. There's security in the light. Listen, I said baseball bat, baby, they would have been like this, yeah. The nurse who is upon us to heal and be good is waiting for God, you know. But the darkness is a loss of security. I believe with all my heart that we are in a time when people listen. You look around us. We see around us people today who are longing. They're joining cults. They're joining false religions. People are doing all kinds of things. We see people today putting quarters on their forehead, wrapping themselves in purple and drinking poison, waiting on a spaceship to take them to heaven. People are looking for something. People are trying to find a way. People are following maniacs into other countries and drinking poison, thinking they're getting to heaven that way. People are getting off planes, flying planes into buildings, killing thousands, thinking that will get them into heaven. People are looking for a way into heaven. They're looking for something because they're not confident in what they have. That's why if you read and you study statistics, you'll see that many of those involved in religions, they change different religions. They're trying to cover all their bases. I think about how some of the other religions in the Bible, that was what they did. They would go in, the government, they would go in and they would conquer an area, and when they would conquer that area, they'd take their gods in with theirs, just in case. Listen, the darkness means there's no security. It's a loss of security. He says here in that verse, that the light brings armor. The light brings armor. I think about it, and I hope I never forget anyway. If my mind goes, there's one thing I want to remember. I want to remember the lines of my grandfather as he laid on his hospital bed, taking morphine, eat up with cancer. And I told you this before. He looked at us and he said, clear as day, I hope I never forget these words. Death doesn't scare me, but dying is no fun. Listen, you can have security when you know Jesus Christ. Dying may not be any fun, but you can be confident in death. You can know, one of my favorite things about it is that, and I told you this not long ago, it was of a man whose wife, pastor, his wife had passed away, and they came to him and said to him, said, sorry to hear about the loss of your wife. He said, I didn't lose her. I know exactly where she is. We have security in the light. Yeah, that's why today, about everywhere you go, you have those motion lights. When you walk by, the light comes on. We like light. Love light. We feel like there's security in light. I think about my own house. There's floodlights on every corner. You know, I can light it up. We can light it up like a fairground or something. We got light on every corner. You know, street lights to boot. You know, think about it. I had a comment this morning. What is it? When cities, they spread out today and they annex. What is one of the first things they do? What is one of the first things the residents want in that city? Street lights. because light brings security. Listen, this morning, you're here and you're wondering about the future. You don't know. You're scared of the future. You don't know what the future holds. I want to tell you something. Come to the light of Jesus Christ. The darkness brings a loss of sight. Darkness brings a loss of security. And anytime there's a loss of security, there's a loss of serenity. When there is no security, there is no peace. I think about, I don't know how long ago that's been now, Wallace, out at your house, and I was up there at your house, and Kim came driving up through the field there and came up there and told Wallace that somebody had broke into her mom and daddy's house. Walked down there and went down there, and sure enough, somebody had kicked in the door and busted the door open. You go in, and stuff was slung everywhere. And I remember thinking, that's not even my house, and I feel violated. You know, just to think how easy it was for somebody just to walk up and just kick the door in and walk in. I was watching a thing this week on the news, and I don't remember that, but it was somewhere in the Charlotte area. There had been like 13 houses, I believe, broken into in the matter of just like the last week or two. And they were interviewing one guy, and he said, it's not what the things that they took. It's my loss of security, my peace of mind. So loss of, and I remember hearing Betty say that when she came home, when she got home to the house as Wallace was working on fixing the door and things. It's the loss, it wasn't the things they took, but it's my peace of mind that somebody's been through my house. Listen, when we lose security, we lose peace. We lose serenity. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Why is there no peace? Because they have no security. Why is there no security? Because they're in the dark. Listen, this morning, you'll never find peace. Some people are trying to find peace in all kinds of places. We're trying to find peace today in entertainment. We're trying to find peace today in sports. We're trying to find peace today in alcohol and drugs. The world is searching for peace. We're trying to sign peace treaties. Everywhere you look, we're trying to find peace. I want you to know something this morning. That there's no peace in the darkness. There is no peace in the darkness because in the darkness is a loss of security. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there is no peace for the wicked. You say, I'm not wicked. I'm not as wicked as he is. Well, you call him wicked. Listen, I want you to understand something this morning. We divide people into a lot of classes. Upper class, middle class, lower class. We divide them into white, red, black, yellow. You know, we divide up in a lot of ways. We divide up red, red, blonde. We divide up what color eyes. We divide people into all kinds of groups. Let me tell you something this morning. The Bible divides them into two groups. The saved and the lost. Those in the light and those in the darkness. You hear them, you don't know Christ. I hate to break this to you. But the Bible says you are in the wicked. And there is no peace in the darkness. Christians, we need to understand something. I lost friends and loved ones. They don't see. They just don't get it. How will they ever see the light if we don't take the light to them? They're looking for peace. They're looking for security. And you know as well as I do, you're like me. You've got friends, you've got family, you've got people you work with who are trying to find these things in all kinds of places. They're trying to find it in the bottom of a liquor bottle. They're trying to find it in pills. They're trying to find it in keeping themselves busy. But the truth of the matter is they're in darkness. And if somebody doesn't take them to light, they'll die in the darkness. The question is really simple this morning. Will you be the person who takes the light into a dark world? See, you go to places I'll never be. You know people I'll never know. Christians, it's time we get serious and understand that a lost person is in the dark. That they don't have any security. They don't have any peace. They don't have any serenity at all. There's a hole in them that only Jesus Christ can fill. And we need to be carrying the light. We're like the gospel says, we've hid our light under the bushel. We've hid it under the basket. Folks, it's time for the... I'll tell you something that... And maybe you prayed this prayer, and I don't mean to hurt your feelings, and I don't know what you mean by it. Let me just tell you, it just makes my skin crawl. Okay? I don't mean to hurt you. I'm apologizing. I'll go ahead and be the one to apologize up front if I hurt your feelings. This drives me nuts. I can't stand here so much. Pray, Lord, make our church a lighthouse by the road. We were never told to be a lighthouse by the road. We were told to go into the highways and the hedges. We were told to go get them, not to sit and wait till they come to our lighthouse. We need to be taking the light to a lost and dying world. You know what I've noticed is really funny? No, not funny, sad. When it's our own children, we're never content with white houses by the road. We're never content with, let's just have a good church and let's sing and let's preach and maybe they'll come to church and maybe they'll get right with God. No, when it's our own children, it's preacher. When you go talk to my son, it's when you go talk to my daughter, it's when you go do something, when you go meet them, when you go visit with them, we're never content with white houses when it's someone we love. We want somebody to take them to light. Folks, we need to be taking the light. We need to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around us. You're here this morning, you don't know Jesus. You've never accepted Him as your Savior. I want you to understand something. The Bible says you're in the darkness. But it gets worse. Because the Bible says that when you die and you leave this world, you will be cast into outer darkness. Where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Outer darkness. Separated from God for eternity. Sent to a place prepared for the devil and his angels. You hear this morning, you don't know Christ. Let me beg you, encourage you. I get down on my hands and knees and plead with you. Come out of the darkness. I'm showing you the light this morning. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. He is the light that this verse is talking about. He is the light that came into this world. He's standing, and the Bible says that He sent the light. Light has come into this world. Every Wednesday night, I was sitting in my office, and I'm bad to walk in the door and just open the door and go over there and sit down because I know where stuff's at and know what I'm doing. And I actually come down the hall, and the first thing you do, you walk in the door, says, light's on in the dark. Flipped on the light. Just flipped on the light immediately. Come in that door and cut on the light. Folks, there are people out there in our world sitting in the darkness needing us to cut on the light. Needing us to cut on the light. I want to ask you to bow your head this morning. Our musicians come. Two groups of people here today. The only two groups of people that can be here are those that know Jesus and those that don't. You're here today and you know you're a Christian. You know you've been saved. But you know as well as I do, you have friends. You have family. You have co-workers. You have employees who are living in the darkness. Who don't know Jesus Christ. And you need to take the light to them. You just don't know how. I want to invite you to come this morning and kneel at this altar. Maybe it's your own children. Maybe it's your own family. Maybe it's your spouse. You want to come to this altar. Maybe it's employees. God, help me. Help me take the light. Help me carry the light of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Open up opportunities this week for me to tell someone about Jesus. Give me the courage. Give me the strength. Give me the right words to take the light into a dark world.